Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call. Click Grainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to OnlyFans Q&A Live, a question and answer show exclusive to OnlyFans and Miami Dolphins Discord server. Now here's your host, Alf.
And we're on. Welcome to OnlyFans Q&A Live for February the 7th, 2024. If you want to become a member of our Discord and participate in these Q&A sessions, you can become a member of our Discord at discord.gg/OnlyFins. And you can become a member there for $3 a month. This show is brought to you by DietSmoke.com for all your THC and shroom products. I also got some CBD. Use the promo code WADDLE, as in Jalen Waddle. Use the promo code WADDLE and you get 50% off any one item. All right, it's been a busy week. Of course, they hired Anthony Weaver. I don't think we're going to get too much into that, but which is to say, you know, there's not much we know about him, except that he comes highly recommended. We don't know about his system, but we're starting to get, I guess, bits and pieces as they slowly come in. Out is Anthony Campanelli. After two bites at the apple to try to get the big seat, and you don't get it, it's understandable that he ends up elsewhere. So that was to be expected once he gets passed over. To replace him is Joe Barry. And I saw everybody on Twitter having a cow because of he was a bad defensive coordinator. Although his defenses were bad. You know, who knows? Maybe he was a great defensive coordinator and his players sucked. Okay. But we do know he's a great linebackers coach. A lot of accolades, a lot of great players. And he is now going to replace Anthony Campanelli at linebacker. Now, everybody, earlier today, as Ryan Crowe got hired, he was with the Tennessee Titans for 6 years. You know, and I'm going to glean some things from what, you know, they taught in Tennessee and try to see if I could apply it to Miami. But he was there for 6 years. He was there under Dan Pease and Shane Bowen. There's not much to glean from that because before those two guys, they had Dick LeBeau. There's three different types of defenses there. But the last 2 years kind of saw them do the pretty much the same thing. Although he's moving to outside. He's going to coach outside linebackers. And I don't think he's going to be pass game coordinator, as Ryan Slowick is kept on, which would mean he's being reassigned to do what? Well, he's done that before. So maybe he's going to be the pass game coordinator since Joe Barry is now the run game coordinator. So now what to glean from that? Okay. Ryan Crowe is not going to handle the secondary, so Ryan Slowick is. I think this points to, and especially with all these hires, they're keeping some type of semblance of what Fangio left here as far as the system, which means that it's just a system that is similar to what Fangio has, probably in nomenclature and Of course, the terminology and the number system is, I'm pretty sure it's going to be the same thing. What's interesting to see, and we won't know this until OTAs, is what the system is actually going to look like. What is Anthony Weaver's philosophy? Because we don't know. If we're going to just take him at face value of what he did in Houston, that was a really vanilla offense. I mean, defense that wasn't very good. Okay, they overreacted to stopping the run. They played 50 fronts because of it. They never played any eagle fronts or bear fronts. It was kind of a vanilla 4-3 flex, middle of the field open defense. They played a lot of match quarters, very few split field coverages. So what can we glean from that? What I gleaned from it was that was Romeo Crennel's system, and he's evolved since then. Since then, he's worked under Wink Martindale and Mike McDonald, two very, very different defensive coordinators. And the requirements to play either one of those defenses is different in both respects, really. So let's say he picked up something from both. If he picked up something from both, he's picking up stuff from essentially the two best that have done it the last 2 years, right? You got a guy who's very blitz heavy, and you got another guy who's a little bit more conservative, but play a lot of cover three and a lot of, you know, flat open defenses. And I'll explain it as such, okay? Because somebody was asking me, you know, what about Steve Spagnuolo? Since, you know, he's the hot name, right? Like, everybody wants Steve Spagnuolo because he's coaching. He's the guy that did the thing on the thing. You know what I mean? That's the way it always works in this league. Whoever's the hot thing, and he's been the hot thing for a while, right, is the one that's going to be like, okay, we want that. Whatever he's doing, we want to do. Well, he's extremely different from what Mike McDonald did, from what Vic Fangio did, and I'll explain why, okay? Most coverages, and we're going to forget about the fronts, because the fronts, you know, that's a whole, like, we could do 2 hours on fronts, but who cares about the fronts? Let's just say, for the sake of argument, that both defensive coordinators want to have four-man rush, okay? Which is the standard number in the NFL. Most teams rush four guys, okay? So let's just say you got four guys in the front. There, four guys are going to run. Forget about the boxes. We're talking strictly about coverages here, okay? Spagnuolo is the kind that will keep five underneath and two deep, okay? Which is a fancy way of saying two deep shell. Now, when you play five underneath, what are you really doing? Okay, your outside corners are carrying receivers up the field. And depending on the rules, depending on the hash, they're letting them go into the deep zone where a safety is going to be occupying it. Or they're carrying them the whole way, depending on if it's the short field or depending on the rules for a field side play or a play side play. So, you know, the outside rules can vary. But what does not vary is what they're trying to take away. They're trying to take away hitches. They're not necessarily trying to take away crosses, because that depends on how you pass guys off and how you call the numbers pre-snap, okay? But they're taking away hitches. They're taking away hooks. They're taking away slants because you're keeping five underneath. That is the opposite of what somebody like Mike McDonald did last year. And if Anthony Weaver's bringing that over here, what you're doing is you're playing four under and three deep for the most part, which is a way of saying three deep. Your three deep are essentially cutting the field in thirds. You do that when you have very, very good cornerback play. You need a hell of a safety to play in the middle of this defense. You would assume that they have that with Javon Holland. But now you're playing four underneath, and what are you essentially taking away? Well, what is open? That's a middle of the field closed defense, okay? The other is a middle of the field open defense. Now, what gets a little bit confusing here is that Fangio had a middle of the field open defense, and if Anthony Weaver is going to adopt what Mike McDonald did, then they're going to have a middle of the field closed defense. So this thing could get really, really confusing because we just don't know what Anthony Weaver's system is or what he's going to do. Now, what happens when you play three deep? When you play three deep, you got four under. What are you taking away? You're taking away hooks. You're taking away hitches, okay? What you're not taking away is the flats. You're exposing the flats, and you can expose the flats. And I'll explain how you can expose the flats when you're the Ravens. And it's answered by two very simple things. Kyle Hamilton, Patrick Queen. You need linebackers that could get out to the flats. Dolphins have that, by the way. Jerome Baker's very good in that regard. But if you can expose the flats, and I've always liked that type of defense, by the way. I don't mind exposing the flats because whenever the quarterback is throwing it 2 yards, you're winning. All you got to do is rally and tackle. Okay? So if you expose the flats, you're pretty much closing out the rest of it. And they're going to have to defeat you with route combinations. To defeat teams with route combinations, you need time. You're banking on your four to get there before he has the, meaning the quarterback, has the time to defeat you with a route combination. So I don't mind that if that's what he's going to do. But it seems like it could be some type of hybrid is what they're running. Because the coaches that they've hired so far for the fronts, Ryan Crow and Joe Barry, they're coming from completely different styles of defenses. Completely different styles. Now, can Joe Barry, since he's a vet, can he adapt? Maybe. Ryan Crow has been in Tennessee for 6 years. He's coached under three completely different coaches. So this is getting more confusing by the day, actually, as far as what they're doing with the defense, which is kind of a good thing, right? Because if we're completely confused and we're the guys that are analyzing this stuff, then what are our opponents thinking, right? So, you know, I would love to hear him talk about his philosophy. I don't think that there's any press conference scheduled. If that's the case, you're going to hear from him somewhere before the draft. I think they made the offensive coordinator and the defensive coordinator available before the draft last year. Maybe if they sign somebody and in free agency that's relevant to one of the sides of the ball, maybe they sign a defensive lineman or a linebacker or a cornerback or whatever, maybe they'll have Anthony Weaver speak then. But if not, we're waiting for OTAs. And then at OTAs, we get to see our first glimpses of that system. Now, he's kind of set on his fronts. Like, you could tell he knows what he wants to play. All right? So that's pretty interesting. And moving Ryan Slowick out kind of suggests that maybe Ronaldo Hill has an issue. I wouldn't necessarily say that his job is safe, because if Ronaldo Hill is going to lose his pass game coordinator job, then what exactly is he going to do here? Maybe he would want to move on, okay? He has better prospects elsewhere if he's going to lose his pass game coordinator job. I'm wondering, and I guess we'll learn more as time goes on what Ryan Slowick's new assignment is. But that's going to be instructive as to what they're going to do. But again, on the defensive side of the ball, it's going to be very interesting to see what is his philosophy. What is Anthony Weaver's philosophy? It has to be very simple things. He's either a middle-of-the-field open defense or a middle-of-the-field closed defense. Okay? And I understand there's probably some of you right now under your breath saying, why not do both? Well, yeah, you could do both. But you got to start with an ethos. You got to start with a philosophy. And the philosophy has to be one or the other. Okay, middle of the field open defenses usually play with light boxes. Anthony Weaver's coming from the Ravens. Ravens played with very light boxes. I think they were fifth or sixth in light box rate this season. So now, what can we say? Well, we know for a fact that Ryan Crow came from the Titans, and they've been very good against the run for 2 years. We know that they've been very, very bad against the pass for 2 years. So he's bringing, I guess, that experience. Now, who did he play that was, who did he coach that is of any consequence? Harold Landry, for one.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
So that's something to watch, you know, as far as, you know, the prototype of the kind of edge rusher that he probably will want here. But as far as the philosophy, yeah, man, it's going to be difficult to discern unless Anthony Weaver actually tells us. Right. So for now, we're just going to assume, and that's the way I'm going to treat the offseason. Although maybe, you know, as they sign guys in free agency, maybe that'll start telling us more. Right. But I'm just going to assume that he's just going to take from what he's learned. He's worked under Wink Martindale and Mike McDonald in Baltimore. So I'm just going to assume that that's going to be his ethos on defense. It's going to be some type of hybrid of what Wink and Mike McDonald did. And if that's the case, that's pretty damn good, right? You know, because both guys were the guys that did the thing next to the thing as they did the thing. And that's the way it works in the NFL. Whoever did that thing is the one that's getting the next job. It's Super Bowl week. I don't think we're going to talk too much about the Super Bowl. Maybe we'll talk about it a little bit at the end, because I don't want to step on our show tomorrow on 3 Yards Per Carry, where we will preview the Super Bowl. But I started the week off thinking that the Chiefs had little to no chance, because you look at the two teams, man, and 49ers are just a much better team. But are you really going to bet against the best quarterback in football and probably the best defense in football? Like, that usually is enough. Pat Mahomes is so good that he just create offense. And then at the end of the game, you're like, wait a minute, we lost 20-17. Yes, you lost 20-17 to Patrick Mahomes. So as the week goes on, man, I'm leaning Kansas City, but I'm really just leaning Kansas City with no real info, except one thing. And I will say this, and I'll talk about this on the show tomorrow. 49ers have problems covering these three-level throws and sail concepts. And that's what Kansas City does. Now, it's been 2 weeks. I think that they know that we know that everybody else knows, and that Kansas City also knows that they have problems covering sail routes. And they have problems covering, you know, these two-level throws. Well, I'm pretty sure they're going to go to school on that. So, are they going to fix it? Was 2 weeks enough time to fix it? To face Pat Mahomes, Rashee Rice, and Travis Kelce? Probably all of a sudden they have two stars on offense, not one, as far as the skill players. Because Rashee Rice is an absolute stud. His coming out party came out, you know, it was a little earlier than the Dolphin game, but I think that was his coming out party, like, hey, I'm going to be a star in this league. I'm going to be one of the best slot receivers in football, when he absolutely torched us in minus 30-degree weather. So, well, that's enough for the Super Bowl. We'll cover that in depth tomorrow on 3YPC. What we will do right now is I will get to your questions, and I will answer as many as possible. If you want to come up here, all you got to do is just raise your hand, and I'll bring you up on the queue. All you got to do is, you know, identify yourself so the audience knows who you are. So far, there's nobody in the queue, but there's a lot of questions in the chat, so I'll just get to the questions. All right, first question. Think we'll re-sign, extend anyone before free agency starts? Great question. What you're going to see, and Super Bowl's on Sunday, so probably next week, you're going to hear these mysterious leaks. Oh, Robert Hunt wants this. Connor Williams wants that. And that's coming from those are the opening salvos being fired by the agents. So look for that. And that'll officially kick off the free agency season. Okay? Because we really don't know, you know? Like, I could speculate, but, what you know, like, I'll tell you 5 for 50. Like, I'm just pulling numbers out of my ass like anybody else would. Okay. But as far as signing somebody, I think that they're talking to Robert Hunt. I have no other information on that. I think you want to square away some of these players because they got a lot of work to do. Okay. I think Deshaun Elliott is imperative. It's going to be cheap. Try to square him away for a slight markup. If you could do that, you're doing pretty damn good work. Okay. I think on defense, that's one of the more important ones. I think you want to get a feel for Andrew Van Ginkle, for sure, as far as before. We're talking about guys to sign before free agency, you know. On Wilkins, I know everybody's thinking, hey, what about Christian Wilkins? I think on Christian Wilkins, they're going to put a number on the table and they say, this is the number. No? Okay, we're going to try to get you out of here, Christian. Okay? And we're going to try to get something for you. So that's going to be a little bit more delicate situation. I don't expect him to be back. I think he wants to be paid as one of the highest paid defensive tackles, and I don't think that the Dolphins want to pay him that. All right, next question. How aggressive do you see them being in the offseason when it comes to adding talent? I know money is tight, but Ross doesn't mind signing checks to make things work. And this is going to be important because I said this before on Twitter, and I really do believe it. I don't think that this offseason is about bringing back your high-priced free agents. I think this offseason is about finding the right vets for one-year deals that want to come along. Look at what happened last year. Gardner Johnson, what a player he was for the Eagles when they made that run to the Super Bowl. And after he had signed a contract, okay? Signs with the Detroit Lions for 1 year, $6.5 million. He's one of the best safeties in football. Those are the kind of deals you got to try to find. Jadeveon Clowney, what he signed for with the Ravens. Something like that, okay? They're going to have to find the right vets to fill in the holes that will develop on the squad as higher price free agents leave. And they got to be the right guys for the right money, which means you're going to have to put out some guaranteed money. And if you put out some guaranteed money, that's your owner writing some pretty fat checks in March. So we shall see. All right, next question. Hi, Alf, a two-part question. We've made some coaching changes aside from special teams. Which position group coaching is the weakest, strongest? I always love, I'll answer that one right away. I love Studsville. He's one of the best running back coaches in football. In fact, I'll go ahead and say he's the best running back coach in football. Okay, I think Wes Welker is absolutely fabulous as well. He has a future as an OC in this league, by the way. Next question in the two parts. He says, you can make one coaching appointment, no limits. Who do you go for? Thanks. You know what? He retired, Keith Armstrong, but he's a hell of a special teams coach. I would try to bring him on as a special teams coach, Keith Armstrong. He was here one time, by the way. Any other? I know Larry Izzo is looking for a job somewhere, but what the hell do we know about Larry Izzo? We know he was a great special teams player. Does that translate to a great special teams coach? You know, are we the type of team that needs a guy learning on the job when we probably have our head coach already learning on the job? So I don't know about Larry Izzo. But yeah, Keith Armstrong. But he retired. He's done. What will Tua drill this offseason to improve physical and mental aspects of his game? Man, that's a question for Nick Hicks. I know what he needs to work on. He needs to get to more parts of the field. Okay. He could throw corner routes. I don't know why he doesn't throw them. And it's on film. You could see like, hey, you know what? He has this, he has this throw, but he just is not taking. He's taking the simpler throw, or he's taking the check down in the flat. There's certain throws that are there available to him on film all year that I think he's going to look at and he's going to work on getting to. Obviously, you want him to work on his body. You want to harden his body. I like the weight he played at this year. Sturdy. I think he was closer to 230 pounds. I think that's a good thing. I think that makes him sturdy. That makes him durable. What free agent wide receivers do you think we target? Also, does O-line wide receiver seem the most logical way to go first two picks? I wouldn't be so sure. There's a distinct possibility they could go for a defensive player at 21. That's possible. But as far as free agent wide receivers, and we're going to talk a lot about the draft. That's what we do. I don't mind saying so. Like, we do as good or a better job than anybody covering the draft anywhere. What free agent wide receiver do you think we target? Man, look at the Curtis Samuel. I think he makes so much sense. He's perfect for this squad. And he fits and he hits all the erogenous zones, right? He's fast. He's going to be cheap. All right? He was underutilized. You know, look at Curtis Samuel. And he has the versatility to play a lot, by the way, in a lot of different sets for Miami. And he keeps that speed element on the field at all times because now you have three that you can count on. Who's the most interesting under-the-radar draft-eligible players I probably don't know about who will be a good fit for the Dolphins? Okay, under the radar. There's nothing really under the radar about Brian Thomas, you know, at wide receiver, Malachi Corley. We know all those guys. Look at Roman Wilson. He's a wide receiver from Michigan. He's getting short thrift compared to the other two guys and Xavier Legette. Like, those are the guys that are sexy. Roman Wilson doesn't get, you know, talked about. That guy can play. And I think he plays in our 11 personnel immediately. So I think he's a big contributor year one, if they do get him. Is 21 a little bit too rich for Roman Wilson? Possibly. But maybe there's a trade down. And maybe they move down to somewhere around 33 out of the first round altogether. Or maybe they move somewhere around the 28 range. And that's more palatable to take somebody like Roman Wilson. But that's what I would look at. I'll have a lot more guys to there's not really that many under the radar guys, because for the last few, you know, for the first early days of our run up to the draft, we're basically talking about, you know, day one and day two guys. Which one of these doesn't belong? Westhoff, Rizzi, Crossman. Oh, we know that. It's Crossman. Which one of these doesn't belong? Westhoff, he's retired. Somebody answers. That's the truth. And then, of course, the same guy says two can coach and one should be fired. All right. What is your opinion on moving Achane to wide receiver and signing one of the free agent running backs? Moving Achane to wide receiver is a little bit tricky. I think you want to get the ball in his hands as much as possible, and that would entail running the football. Now, moving him exclusively out of running back into a more hybrid role where he touches the ball, running the ball, and receiving the ball, that's more likely, okay? Down the line, moving him exclusively to wide receiver, I don't know. I think I like him as a running back. He's produced as a running back. I'd be more interested in getting some weight on him, getting him as close to 200 pounds as possible. I know he came in this year somewhere around 190 pounds. If you could get him somewhere around 195, pushing almost 200, I think you're right there where you want to be. You want to work on his body and make him a little bit more durable that way. But no matter how you slice it, the man had 800 yards rushing on, what was it, a billion yards per carry. He's useful, and he's a hell of a pass receiver. He does it all. The key is, who cares about moving him to wide receiver? I care about getting him touches, and he needs to get those touches this coming season. All right, I think we're going to leave it here unless somebody else has another question. And going once, going twice. Is anybody else going to put anything else into the chat? If not, we could leave it right here, and we will. All right, if you want to become a member of our Discord and participate in these Q&As, you can come to discord.gg/OnlyFans. You go to discord.gg/OnlyFans, and you become a member there for $3 a month. All right. We will see you again next week, same time, every Wednesday. OnlyFans Q&A Live. See you then.
Thanks for listening to OnlyFans Q&A Live.